Y'all notice how Robert brings Bill a chair up here when he preaches, but I guess I don't need one. We'll just say that I'm younger than Bill. That's how it is. Again, my name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my joy to get to bring the word this morning. Pastor Bill is on vacation this week and next week, so y'all get to hear from me 2 weeks in a row. Well, hold. You don't know what I'm going to say today, so... You know, I love being a pastor, but it's hard sometimes, right? Because what's a pastor? What is a pastor? What's he supposed to do? You know, a lot of people think pastors are supposed to be the nicest people in the world. I'm not. A lot of people think that pastors are supposed to say things that make you feel better every week. You come to church and you leave in a great mood. And sometimes I know that that's not what I'm supposed to do. Because as a pastor and as somebody who's called by Jesus to say, get up there and tell my truth, sometimes that's really hard to do without coming across as mean sometimes. Because truth isn't always... easy to hear, right? And so I was thinking this week, what am I supposed to preach on? And I was going to, I'm still going to preach on love, but I'm basically rewriting a sermon right now because of that song we just sang, My Jesus. It says, let me tell you about my Jesus, right? That's the big chorus of that song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about how he changed my life. And that hit me as I was sitting back there singing that song. Because that's really what we're called to do as pastors and as Christians. Let me tell you about how Jesus changed my life. The scripture I was going to use today, and we'll still use it, is 1 Corinthians 13. What chapter is that? The love chapter. Everybody knows this chapter. I'm reading out of the Message Bible, but this is just one of the most famous chapters because it talks about love. And we all know love, right? We know love. We know that feeling. We love our significant other. We love our children. We love our parents. We love our grandparents. We love our country. On July 4th weekend, we love our country. We love the freedom we have. We know what love is. But what does God say love is? I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll just read the meat of it. So love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first, and it doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best. It never looks back, but it keeps going to the end. That's the definition of love, according to Scripture. But what does love look like? How does love show up? How does love change us? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus changed us. That's what we say. That's what Scripture says. That's what the song said. That's what Jesus is supposed to do. He's supposed to change us. But are we changed? Was your life before Jesus any different than your life after Jesus? I think that sometimes we can answer that question yes. I think a lot of times we want to answer that question yes. We know we're supposed to answer that question yes. And we know that we're supposed to be different. But let's be honest. Because that's what we're here for, is truth. Because that's what love loves. Are we different? Do we act different? Do we talk different? Do we show up differently? My life is busy. That's probably an understatement. I work 6 to 7 days a week, right? Police department and here. Last night at 6 p.m., we were practicing bells for the 11 o'clock service. I work at the police department every morning, and then most afternoons, I'm doing something for the church. And I'm not complaining. I love it. I have two kids, two teenage kids. I have a daughter that just graduated college, but she doesn't, you know, she doesn't need dad anymore, so that's easy, you know. How much do you want? That's the only thing you really, whenever she calls, right? That's all you got to say now when they get that old. But I've got a wife and two kids and two jobs, and my life is busy. And I'm not going to lie that I would love to say I show up the right way all the time. But I don't, because I'm frustrated, and I'm tired, and I want a break, and I just want to go play golf, and I don't remember the last time I played golf. And I show up the wrong way, and I show up angry and show up yelling. Ask Jenny, she'll tell you all about it. I'm not any different than the way I was before I met Jesus. Or, you know, it's easy for me to say before I met Jesus, but I grew up knowing Jesus. I grew up in church. I grew up in church. I've always known Jesus. But there was a time when I ran from Jesus. There was a time when I ran from God. I said, I don't need anything. I got life figured out. I know everything. But then I was reintroduced to Jesus. And this time in my life where I was beat down and worn out. I was driving around in my truck, and I said, this is not who I'm supposed to be. I just can't do this anymore. And I cried out, and I said, God, help me. And he answered me. He answered me. I heard him. And he said, I see you. You haven't run too far. You can never run too far. You can't lose me. I still see you. I was always there to begin with. Come home. And that, in that moment, I was changed. But then stress happens again, and life happens again, and I find myself flipping back and forth, from showing up the right way to showing up the old way. And I would love to be the person that could say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you how my life has changed permanently. And there's a lot of times I can, but there's a lot of times I can't. There's a lot of times I say that I'm changed, but I'm showing up the way I always did. But we serve a God that loves us. We have a Jesus that loves us, even when we flip back and forth, even when we're not perfect, even when we mess up and we wake up grumpy and we yell and we refuse to talk to people or whatever goes on. Even when we show up the wrong way, Jesus loves us. Loves us unconditionally. And loves us the same way He taught us how to love others. Because that's really what Jesus did his entire life. His entire ministry was, let me show you how to love other people. Let me show you how to live a changed life. Let me show you what it means to be different and to be changed into my likeness. That's what love is. It's being changed into the likeness of Jesus. When we read the definition of love, what we're reading is a definition of Jesus. Love never gives up. It cares more for others. It doesn't want what it doesn't have. It doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. What it does is it loves flowering truth. What it does is when people think different than you do, when people act different than you do, when the world around you says this is normal, you are an oddball for trying to live differently. Love loves those that the world says is normal. Love loves the others. It's not partial to anything. Jesus wasn't partial. when the official's son was sick, when the official, you know, one of the people that the Bible speaks against, one of the church officials, one of the people that was lived, I'm better than thou. One of the people that Jesus came to show the right way to live to, but one of the people that fought to stop Jesus and silence Jesus. When the official's son got sick and he came to Jesus, did Jesus shut him out? No. Even though he was one of the people trying to stop Jesus, Jesus still healed the official's son. Because love isn't partial, right? It has no sides. There is no them and us. It's just us. It's just the children of God. When the centurion came to Jesus, now Israel was under Roman rule. They were captives. They were slaves to the Romans. And the centurion was one of the leaders in the Roman army. And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my child is sick. And Jesus could have said, you're my captive. Why would I help you? But you know what he did? He said, go home, your son is healed. And he was. There are no sides with the love Jesus teaches us to live. That's the love that we need to live by. That's the love that changes our lives. The Canaanite woman, she wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't a daughter of God according to the Israelites. She was one of those pagan women. And she came to Jesus. The disciples wanted to send her away because she was just bugging them, hollering out to Jesus, help me, help me, help me. Jesus could have turned to her and said, go away. But what he did is he turned to her and said, do the dogs eat from the master's table? Saying, why should I help you? And she says, because even the master's dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table. And Jesus said, your daughter's healed. Because he saw her and didn't see a Canaanite. He saw another creation of God. What about the outcast? What about the people that society says, you don't belong in normal society? Go hide on the outskirts. Do we have anybody like that in our society today? What about addicts? Drug, alcohol, whatever, addictions. People that are so caught up with a disease that society pushes them to the outskirts. So much so that we don't even see them. We turn our backs to them, we ignore them, we walk by them, just like the lepers in the Bible, right? I mean, great, I'm grateful that leprosy is not the problem it used to be. I mean, I can't imagine. But they were forced to walk around hollering out, unclean, 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 stay away, unclean. Now, we don't force drug addicts to walk around saying, I'm a drug addict, stay away. Because nobody's around to listen to them. We've trained ourselves to walk by them and ignore them, right? We've trained ourselves to go around those sections of town, to stay away from people like that. And it's not just the lepers and the drug addicts. It's the sick people. It's the crippled people. It's the blind, the mute, the deaf. That society back then considered them all outcasts. Jesus saw them as other created people and saw them where they were and met them where they were. Jesus touched the leper, healed the blind, healed the crippled. Jesus said, you're not an outcast in the kingdom of God. You're part of the kingdom of God, and I see you where you're at, and I will not walk by you and ignore you. What about his enemies? What did Jesus do with his enemies? What's the best example of this? What about the guy who Peter cut off his ear? The guy that was there to arrest Jesus? The guy that was there to take Jesus to the trial that would lead to his death? What did Jesus do when Peter cut off his ear? He healed it. What do we do with our enemies? We curse at them. We shout at them. We get on Facebook and write rants against them. Because that way we don't have to talk to them. We can do it all online from the safety of my phone. What did Jesus do with his? He healed them. He saw them, not as an enemy, but as a creation of God. Why did Jesus do this? Why does it matter whether we do this or not? We're not Jesus. We're not that good. But Jesus says we can be. Jesus says, come do it with me. Jesus says, let me show you how and live a changed life. Live a life different than the world around you. Why is that important? Why should we have to? Do we have to? Can we get out of this? Is this a contract? Is this something that has to happen? Or can I just sit on the sidelines can I just put a toe in the water, right? I just want to show up on Sundays. Maybe that's up to my ankle. If I just show up on Sundays and I'm a good church person once a week and I don't do anything wrong, I just avoid any situation that I might choose the wrong thing. If I just avoid those situations, then I always show up looking like the changed person, right? If I only wait to deal with somebody until I wake up and have my morning coffee and I'm in a good mood, then I can be the changed person. And I won't have the opportunity to show up as the unchanged person. It's a win-win. Is that the life Jesus calls us to? Because in John 15, Jesus says, love as I have loved you. Love as I have loved you. Where were you when Jesus first loved you? I was in a car driving down a back road, having the worst day of my life, thinking I was falling apart, crying out to God, saying, I need help, I need you. And you know what he did? He showed up and said, I got you. I see you. I love you still. Come home. You are loved. And I'm supposed to love others like that? Because that's the kind of way he loved me first. Love the way that I loved you. How were you loved? Where were you? What were you going through when Jesus showed up and truly loved you? Loved you enough that it changed your life. It opened up this floodgate of grace and mercy and an embrace of you are mine. And I see you. And we're supposed to love others that way? We're supposed to live our lives loving others that way? What about in 1 Peter where it says, set yourselves apart by obedience. Love each other. Set yourselves apart by obedience. Love each other. Does that mean set yourselves apart by creating situations where it's easy for you to love other people? Because that's what we do as a church. That's what the church is great at. The church is really good at creating situations and groups of people where it's easy to love one another. Let's face it, even when we have a disagreement in this church, we still love each other because it's not really that big of a disagreement. I like gray, I like purple walls. Gray walls, purple walls. I'll still love you, it's fine. You know? We put ourselves in situations where it's easy to love other people because we're just loving ourselves. That's all we're doing because we find people that we get along with. But what about those times when we're not the same? Why don't we want to bring other people into this church that are so different than us? Because we're afraid it might challenge us. We're afraid it might force us to love people that wants to do away with the traditional service and do something completely different. Oh my God, the walls are going to fall down. I can't love that person. They are a heathen. The get away with the traditional service. What is that? That's real church. Set yourselves apart by obedience and love each other. Love as I have loved you. Were you the greatest person in the world when Jesus first loved you? And isn't somebody else worthy of that love? If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. What does that sound like? Does that sound like an invitation? Does that sound like an option? What does that sound like? If you love me, then keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Everything that I've done, everything that Jesus has done, his entire ministry, are his commandments. And he even gave it to us plain and simple. He said, these are the two greatest commandments. What are those? Love God and love others. Those are the two greatest commandments. None of the others amount to this. All of the others can be summed up in these two. Love God, love others. Well, I'll just choose my others then, right? I will put myself in places that won't force me to love people that are too different than me. I will only go to places where people are like-minded with me. Whoever loves me will keep my word. Will keep my word. Is this the word of God? No. It's not. It's the written word of God. But what's the word of God? Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. When Jesus was roaming the earth, living and loving people, this book did not exist. This book was written about him. Yes, this book is the written word of God. But the truth is, the word of God is Jesus, fulfilled in humanity, lived out for us to live like. Everything in this book points to Jesus. Everything in this book. And if we love him, whoever loves me will keep my word. My word is everything I've done in my ministry. It's loving the outcast, loving loving and not caring what you think. There's no partial, it's non-impartial. And loving my enemies. And showing up and seeing people that the world ignores. It's putting myself in places where people are different than me, hunting me, trying to kill me, and I'm going to love them anyway. Do you know what? Jesus never had a problem with the Roman government. Look at his ministry. Did he preach the downfall of the Roman government? Did he focus all of his attention on freeing Israel from the Romans? No, you know what he did? He showed up and said, I'm going to show you how to change the world. I'm going to show you how to change the world. Forget Israel. Forget Rome. We're going to change the world. You know what he did? He said, I'm just going to love. I'm going to love unconditionally. I'm going to love in a way that nobody has ever seen. And I'm going to invite you to do it with me. And out of that, that's why we're sitting in this room right now, because Jesus loved 12 people and 12 people started the church, right? And said, we got to share this with everybody else. And Jesus showed up in the world around him, and wherever he went, people followed and wanted to see this guy and what was so special about him. And what was so special is he just loved them. When the kids came running up to him and the disciples said, get those kids out of here, they mean nothing, because kids were just possessions. Jesus said, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. Unless you have a mind like these children, you'll never see the kingdom of God. What's a mind of a child? Complete trust and faith and a willingness to love and be loved. That's who we're called to be. That's how we're called to live. That's what it means to say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let me tell you about the way he changed my life. Because the way he changed my life is he loved me when nobody else should have. And I didn't deserve it. And he's invited me to do that with other people around me. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who Foley United Methodist Church has been called to be in Foley, Alabama. That's what led us to the four missional communities that we have. Those are the areas where God is challenging this church to be different and to show up in ways that he would show up. And last Sunday, we had a meeting about the missional communities, about the heart of who we are as Foley United Methodist Church, about how God is calling us to show up in Foley, Alabama and love in a way that's different than the world does, that's not just about feelings, It's about being love, being loved, and loving others. It's about love as I have loved you. It's about set yourself apart through obedience. It's about if you love me, keep my commandments. And we have 250 people that show up here every Sunday, and only 50 showed up Sunday night. And I get it. We met in this room, and it's small, and it's cramped, and COVID's going around. I get that. I get that we're busy. I get that there's other things that take priorities in our life. Because it does for me. But what I don't get is how we can say we want to love Jesus. We just don't want to do the work. What I don't get is how I can get comments about who shows up and who doesn't show up. I'm not going to lie, I've stressed over this sermon all week. Because I really feel like we're in a place where God has brought us to as a church. And he's challenged us, saying, be the church. Be the people I called you to be and love others in your community. Change the world and start in Foley, Alabama. Think about that. Build the kingdom of God here and now in Foley, Alabama. Love people. See people. Heal people. I was healed when he saw me in my truck. How many other people are longing to be seen? And are we making excuses as to why we can't? Are we too busy? Is it not important? Does it sound like something you didn't agree with to begin with? Is it something that you weren't a part of, so you're just like somebody else can do it? Do we show up to church every Sunday and say, well, there's already people that do this or do that, and there's already people that, you know what, I just showed up, and I'm good with that. And if a new person walks in, I'm just going to let the other people greet them, and I'm just going to do whatever because I showed up, and that's all I have to do to be a good Christian. Man, this is hard. But my job is to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing to love people? What are you doing? Do you just show up, or are you doing something? Are you loving? Because loving is an action. To quote one of my favorite bands, love is a verb. Does anybody know who that is? No, DC Talk, come on. Love is a verb. Love is an action. Love is the life that Jesus lived, and he invites us to live with him. It's not just an invitation. It's if you love me, obey me. Go and love the way that I loved you. That's what we're called to do. That's the challenge of being a Christian. It's not just about the church. It's not just about the individual. We want to convince ourselves that this Christian journey is an individual journey. And don't get me wrong, we all have a lot of junk that we need to work on in our lives. There's a lot of individual work that needs to be done in each and every one of us. Nobody can deny that. But this Christian journey is not an individual journey. Jesus did not walk around in a cocoon and just speak these words and they were magically written down on a piece of paper. Jesus did life in the world he was placed into, and he changed the world by being willing to love people that the rest of the world said, don't go near them. And that's what he's calling us to do. This card is about missional communities. I was going to talk about it. On the back, there's ways that you can get involved. But all I'm really asking you to do this week, all I'm really challenging you to do today, is to just ask yourself, what do you do? Can you tell somebody how your life has changed? I'm not talking about the circumstances or how you feel. But how is your life different? What do you do? You were loved. How are you loving? Because that's the measure of my Jesus. That's the Jesus I met. Because it changed my life completely. Because I wasn't able to say no to him in that truck. I wasn't able to say no to him when he called me to be a preacher. I wasn't able to say no to him when he said, go and love others. Because he loved me first. So what are you doing? Because he loved you first. They said that was really bad or that was really good, one or the other, right? But you know what else Jesus said? And I'll just talk, well, there we go. What else Jesus said is, I love you enough to give my life for you. That's how much I love you. I love you enough to give up my life for you. And he was talking about you. He was talking about you, because even the scripture records how he talked about all those who have not seen me yet still will believe, and that's you. On that night, when Jesus met with his friends, knowing it would be his last night, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about me in my truck. He was thinking about you wherever you were, when he first loved you. And he said, I'm doing this for you. But I want you to remember that. I want you to have a way to remember that. And he's sitting around the table with these 12 guys. And he says, take that bread on the table. Break it. He says, when you do that, think of my body being broken for you. And then he looked at the cup of wine. He said, y'all pass that around. Take a drink from it. This is my blood that I am pouring out for the forgiveness of your sins, for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, for everybody. Nobody will be turned away. If they come looking for me, they will find me, and they will find forgiveness. That's what this wine represents. As we prepare to come to the table, let's not forget that this table is not just located in this room. It's located wherever we are. When we sit down for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for snacks, it's an opportunity to look at what we're holding and say, this is a reminder of how much we are loved. And it's a reminder of how much we're supposed to go love other people. We have gluten-free. We have to-go cups. And we have traditional intinction. Kate is coming forward. We'll start with this side. We'll invite you to come forward. We'll hand you a piece of bread. You can dip it in the juice and then eat it together. Or if you want a to-go cup or gluten-free, just say so when you get here. It's all fine. After this side's done, we'll go to this side. As you take communion and return to your seat, I just invite you to remember how much you were loved. And then ask yourself, are you loving others the same way? Or are you just putting yourself in a position that you're safe and you don't have to? This table's not a closed table, it's an open table. If you are here with a heart seeking Jesus, you are welcome. Come and join.
This next song is called Reckless Love. And I'm really surprised that John didn't mention this form of God's love. He leaves the 99 to chase the one. He loves us that much. So let's sing the song together.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life